Sure. This will call the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 278 to order. The Secretary will take the roll.
Senator Hertz.
Here.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Here.
Senator Boland.
Here.
Representative Buttrey.
Here.
Representative Burgley.
Here.
Representative Ferris Olson.
Here.
Thank you, members of the committee. This Senate Bill 278 generally revised laws related to lawsuits. So there's some amendments that were put on the House side that I think we need to clean those up a little bit. So Senator Fitzpatrick.
Should I start with your amendment, Mr. Chair?
Sure, if you'd like.
I'll move amendment SB 278.2.3. And I believe, Mr. Chair, this is the one that pertains to the legal fees of people challenging government actions. Before we get going, I would like to make a conceptual amendment. So on page 2, line...
Actually, Senator Fitzpatrick, it looks like on page 3, line 7 and 8, is that conceptual amendment in there? Healthcare facility?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, my amendment was to strike certain...
Okay,
I was going to strike out the 501c4 language. So
okay, all right.
On page 2, line 22, I want to strike out the 501c4. And then on page 3, line 22, I also want to strike out the 501c4 language.
Page 3, line 25.
Page 3, line 22.
And then Senator Fitzpatrick, it looks like maybe on page 2, line 21, probably need to cross out 501c4 is there also.
I don't think we needed to strike that out.
Okay, all right.
It was just the two references, the one in subpart B and then the one in subpart C.
And the purpose of this is to eliminate some of those organizations that may be under that type of classification?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any questions from the committee in regard to the amendment? If
Representative Ferris Olson has a question on Zoom.
Representative Olson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if Senator Fitzpatrick could just explain exactly why we're cutting out 501c4s and what they won't have to be involved in. I'm having a hard time tracking the conceptual amendment, so I just want to make sure I'm clear on what I'm voting on.
I'm pulling them out. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Ferris Olson. I'm just pulling them out so that they wouldn't be regulated by this section, so it would only apply to the 501c3s. Mm-hmm.
Any further?
So what, go ahead. Mr. Chair, sorry if I may follow up. So what exactly wouldn't, I'm still having a hard time tracking. So what wouldn't they have to report? Would that be the donors or what wouldn't they have to report? I'm just unclear still. Sorry. And thank you, Senator Fitzpatrick.
So Mr. Chair, Representative Ferris Olson, if you look in B, this is the one where it says they would have to, the way it currently reads, each 501c4 would have to, under penalty of perjury, file a statement to the Attorney General. By taking them out, they wouldn't have to do that. And then we're also, it's basically a definitional section, and on page 3 we're taking out a C4 as a nonprofit corporation for purposes of this section.
Mr. Chair, follow up then.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fitzpatrick, so why are we treating 501c4s differently than 501c3s? I mean, it seems like 501c4s are more politically oriented than 501c3s, so I'm just curious.
It's my understanding that there's other requirements, and I think, you know, just for practical purposes here, I think it would make sense to narrow the scope of the bill.
Any further questions, Representative Olson? It looks like...
No, I have a statement, but I don't have any questions for Senator Fitzpatrick at this point.
Okay, could you hold on a minute? It looks like Rachel has her hand up. Rachel, do you have something to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to make sure that I am understanding the conceptual amendment correctly, should the reference to 501c4 remain in 1A, which you see on page 2, line 21? Or should I take that out as well?
I'm sorry, yeah, let's strike that there too.
Okay, I will, so as I understand the conceptual amendment, I would strike 501c4 any place I see that in section 4.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
And then, Rachel, I've got you on here. It looks like my other conceptual amendment that you put in to exempt healthcare facilities is on page 3, lines 7 and 8.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay, thank you. So is there any other questions or comments about this amendment?
Question.
Representative Olson, would you like to make a comment first?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I guess my concern is that we are targeting those entities that are traditionally nonprofits and don't engage in government-type advocacy. And so I just worry that we're treating those organizations unfairly when we know those groups that are 501c4s engage in this type of activity, and we're not requiring the same from them that we're requiring from 501c3s. So I'd ask y'all to vote against the conceptual amendment. Thanks, Mr. Chair and members.
So noted. Will the secretary take the roll by chamber, please?
Senator Hertz.
Yes.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Senator Boland.
No.
Representative Betry.
Yes.
Representative Burgley.
Aye.
Representative Ferris Olson.
No.
Mr. Chair, two senators have voted aye, one has voted no. Two representatives have voted aye, and one has voted no.
Amendment passes. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Sure, Mr. Chair, I guess I'll move your, do we need to move your amendment as amended? I think we do need to do that. So I'll move amendment, if I can find the number here. SB278.2.3 as amended.
Any questions?
Question.
Roll call.
Senator Hertz.
Yes.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Senator Boland.
No.
Representative Betry.
Yes.
Representative Burgley.
Aye.
Representative Ferris Olson.
No.
Mr. Chair, two senators have voted aye, one has voted no. Two representatives have voted aye, and one has voted no.
Amendment 278.2.3 has passed as conceptually amended.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple other amendments. I'll move the next one. I'll move amendment SB278.2.1. And what this does is this revises, it does two things. The first thing is it moves up the time for service of process of a lawsuit from what is basically 3 years to 1 year. And the reason for that is that allows the litigation to move through the process sooner. Evidence can be preserved. Witnesses can be found, and that sort of thing I think would be very beneficial to people, get these claims up and moving. And then the second part it does is it modifies Section 3318.242, which is a section of the bad faith code. And what we're doing here is we're excluding captive insurance companies and self-insurers. And I think the reason particular for the captive insurers is that they don't pay claims. They're not really claims adjusting companies. They're just more or less, lack of a better term, I think they're holding companies. But I don't think there's really any reason to have them pulled into this code section.
Any questions or on the amendment?
No, you just moved the amendments.
Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, members, so I have concerns. I mean, I'm getting texts about how the excluding captive insurers is bad, but I also, just in my experience, excluding the self-insureds from the UTPA seems like a bad idea. I mean, I've practiced against large international companies, and most of those are self-insured, and so when you do that, they can now engage in these same kind of hijinks that some insurance companies do. Instead of settling claims that their liability is reasonably clear, they just prolong litigation costing everyone, including Montanans, lots of money, and there's no, remedy for that once we exclude them. So again, I'd ask you to vote no to preserve Montana's right to pursue claims against those large multinational entities that aren't based in Montana who harm Montanans.
Any further comments? Question's been called. Secretary, please take the roll by chamber.
Senator Hertz.
Yes.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Senator Boland.
No.
Representative Buttrey.
Yes.
Representative Burgley.
Aye.
Representative Ferris Olson.
No.
Mr. Chair, two senators have voted aye, one has voted no. Two representatives have voted aye, and one has voted no.
Senate Bill 278.2.1 amendment has passed.
All right, Mr. Chair, the last amendment I have is SB 278.2.2. And what this does is it prohibits costs when a claimant fails to beat an offer of judgment. And maybe let me put this in English here. Let's say you have a lawsuit where you got a car accident or something, and the defendant says, I'm going to offer you $50,000 to settle it, and that offer is not accepted, and you go to a trial, and the plaintiff only recovers $35,000. The way our code is written is that because they recovered more than $50, they still get their costs, even though they failed to beat the amount of, or beat the offer that was provided to them sooner. I mean, they functionally lost because they didn't get as much money as they could have. So I think this is a tool to discourage unnecessary, or it's a tool, I think, to promote settlement and to, you know, expedite the resolution of claims. I think it brings a little fairness into the offer of judgment scenario, because really offers of judgment aren't really worth anything. So that's the amendment, and that's why I'm offering it.
Any questions or comments from the committee?
Question.
Question's been called. Roll call vote, please.
Senator Hertz.
Yes.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Senator Boland.
No.
Would you repeat that, please, Senator Boland?
No.
Representative Buttrey.
Yes.
Representative Burgley.
Aye.
Representative Ferris Olson.
No.
Mr. Chair, two senators have voted aye, one has voted no. Two representatives have voted aye, one has voted no.
Amendment number 278.1. Is that two or one?
That's two.
Dot two has passed free conference committee. So with that, members of the committee, the only other thing, Representative Buttrey, would you like to carry this on the floor, on the House floor? All right, and then I'll... Obviously, it's my bill I'll be carrying on the Senate floor. So with that, members of the committee, this free conference committee is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.